Hanover Square Press and Harper Audio present Box Office Poison, Hollywood's Story in a Century of Flops, by Tim Robey. This is the author. Preface. Histories of studio filmmaking have a habit of skimming over the disasters, those moments of doomed expenditure that pull the curtain back on what the culture was thinking. As in, what the hell were they thinking? Failure fascinates, though, for all the reasons that surefire success is a drag. Merely log the highest-grossing films of a given decade, the Best Picture winners and so forth, and you're telling only a flattering fraction of the Hollywood story. You could also argue that the only genuinely interesting financial successes in the world of cinema are the ones no one saw coming. James Cameron's Titanic, 1997, was widely tipped to be a fiasco, and left every box office record in its wake. The Blair Witch Project, 1999, was made for peanuts by a bunch of film students no one had ever heard of. Those are extreme cases, arguably the two most extreme, of beating the odds. The vast majority of hits, in an industry notoriously averse to betting on anything other than proven certainties, fall into neither category. Films that flop exorbitantly are the flip side to that norm, and thereby reveal a lot. Before their downfall, they were often dreamed up erroneously as sure things by some backstage calculus derived from everything box office is meant to teach us in terms of popular taste, demographic reach, star power, genre favoritism. Harshly exposing the flaws in that business model, the saga of an archetypal flop has everything. Escalating budgets, clashing egos, acts of God. It's far more compelling to read the story of an out-of-control Gigli, 2003, than a machine-tooled mega-hit like Avengers Infinity War, 2018. This isn't just because the prospect of a blockbuster crashing and burning attracts our instincts for rubbernecking, but because flops themselves can be such durably interesting artifacts. They're the medium's weirdos, outcasts, misfits, freaks. They can be reappropriated after the event as camp treats. They can linger, Ozymandias-like, as monuments to studio hubris, hobbled and crumbling. Or they can electrify decades later for reasons of genuine artistry, as misunderstood, radical, ahead of their time. All of these categories will be explored here, case by case. In nearly a quarter century, yikes, of reviewing professionally, I've had to deal in print with all manner of eye-watering abominations, some of these among the more recent debacles that have made the cut. But there's a century of cinema to turn over, and I'm fascinated by what the bygone era can tell us with its turkeys. The silent age, when filmmakers were testing the boundaries of what this fledgling medium could achieve, saw the first monumental battles between art and commerce waged on screen, with directors, studios, and stars hacking at each other in the fray. I've chosen two examples here that lost a fortune, and are among the most fascinating films of their day, not just for everything that went wrong, but for the creative ambition that survives in both pictures as we now have them. Several other films in this book are near masterpieces. Their stark financial failure will be tackled, but so will their risky flexes and unorthodox brilliance. Each was deeply costly to the careers of those filmmakers, who were sent to director's jail for having soar-away visions no one managed to sell. The least they deserve is retrospective appreciation for what they got on screen, however painfully unrewarded it went at the time. Another subset of what's included are what we might opt to call disaster pieces, films with wild, commercially fatal problems, but a peculiar integrity. There are some uniquely messy enterprises we can behold with the benefit of hindsight, and not really imagine or even want fixed. There's an aura to such behemoths I've always found alluring. They might have defeated their makers, but somehow they live on, not least as test cases for how not to spend a studio's millions. The chosen films are a jumbled, motley crew, but that's kind of the idea. Without knowing it, they all say something about the circumstances that saw them produced. And while plenty of them should be fed to the wolves head first, others can be held up as magnificent. Quality is meant to be all over the map. Instead, two main criteria govern what's in. The production on each film has to have been epic or crackers, comedy of errors, or in some way, freshly entertaining to recount. A few old warhorses are discussed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?